What is going on, sports fans? Thank you so much for tuning in here on Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, and ESPN Pensacola podcast. And hey, happy Memorial Day to you. And real quick, just before we get into all of the stuff we have to talk about on today's show, want to take a second to recognize and in honor the reason why we have this three-day weekend, and that is for the men and women of the United States military who paid that ultimate price, who sacrificed their lives so that we may be able to enjoy ours. So just at some point as you're celebrating throughout the day, whether you're out on the boat, whether you're having a barbecue with your friends or hanging out at the pool or whatever, just take a few minutes to understand and recognize. And maybe if you've got younger, smaller kids, help explain to them that this is not a weekend for car sales at car lots or department stores or anything like that. And, you know, explain the real reason of why we celebrate and honor this day as proudly as we do, because these men and women gave their lives so that we can have our lives here in this great country that we're a part of. Now let's get into the sports stuff. I really don't want to start off with this story, but I feel like this is something that we've got to start off with, because this was definitely one of the biggest stories on Saturday, if not the entire weekend. Grayson Murray, PGA Tour golfer, dead at the age of 30. This was kind of one of those sudden shocks to everybody. Grayson was a guy who had some demons. You know, he suffered from, you know, alcoholism early in his career. He had some depression. He definitely had some things that he was fighting. And unfortunately, looks like he did, as a statement was released from his parents, did take his own life Saturday. He actually withdrew himself from the tour on Friday, and still not 100% clear whether he took his own life Friday night or Saturday morning. But the news broke on Saturday, and it's so sad and it's so tough to hear this. And this is not a sports topic. This is a humanity topic right now. So I'm trying to choose my words carefully and pick what I say with, you know, the utmost respect for this situation, because I understand there's a lot of people that deal with the same issues that Grayson Murray dealt with. There are a lot of people that feel like there are no other ways to get out of it than that. And I just want you to know that there are other ways. Talk to people in your life. Talk to somebody you don't know. Go find a therapist, you know. Reach out to somebody. You've got people in your life. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done to people, you've got people in your life. So I'm using this situation from Grayson Murray to just put the message out there that please, if you are feeling like you have no other choice, if you are feeling like there is no other option, there's no other way out of this for you, understand that there is. But there are people out there that care about you, that love you, and that want to help you. And you can call them and you can talk to them, and there is 1-800 numbers out there that where you can call and talk to somebody who is a trained professional who can help you with this. This does not have to be the answer for your issue, your problem, whatever it is you're facing, your depression. This does not have to be that problem. So please don't feel like it is. This does not have to be the solution to your problem. Talk to somebody, please. Just promise me that as you're listening to this, that you will reach out to somebody if you are at your lowest point and you don't feel like there's any hope for you. Because I hate hearing stories like this. You know, and people go, oh, well, he was so young. He was 30 years old. How could this have happened? He was 30. Depression doesn't discriminate with your age. Depression doesn't go, oh, you're 16 years old, I'm going to take it easy on you. It might actually even hit you harder the younger that you are. So check on your loved ones. And please, again, just final thought before we move on to the NBA Eastern and Western Conference Finals. If you are struggling right now, reach out to somebody. All right, back to sports now. Dallas and Minnesota in the Western Conference Finals. Dallas now up 3-0 in that. Looks like they took a 116-107 win yesterday in Game 3. Kyrie, 33 points. Anthony Edwards, again, was relegated to being a one-man band for the Timberwolves. And he can't do that. And we'll get to that more in just a second. But something else that, and we talked about this going into the series, that Minnesota could not allow Kyrie and Luka to be Kyrie and Luka. And not only are they allowing them to be those guys, you know, not only are they allowing them to play up to their full potential, but, and I saw somebody post this on social media, and I agree with it 110%. This is 2016 Kyrie we're seeing right now. This is peak Kyrie. I mean, he has turned it on and dialed it up in this series against Minnesota. I mean, 33 points last night. He's been a big part of this entire series for them. You know, the other night when, what was it, game two, when Luka was playing bad in the first half, Kyrie stepped up. Kyrie kind of trailed off in the second half. Luka stepped up. And these two guys together just complementing each other so well. And really, Minnesota doesn't have an answer to it. They don't have consistency outside of Anthony Edwards, right? Anthony Edwards, for all the conversations we've had about how he's the next face of the NBA, he could be the next Michael Jordan type player. He doesn't have a consistent number two to help him out. And say what you will about Michael Jordan, say what you will about LeBron James, they've always had a consistent number two. With Michael, it was Scotty, right? The Bulls didn't start winning championships really until Scotty came into the picture. And then once you gave him that consistent number two he could rely on, there was no stopping the Chicago Bulls, because if you cover Michael, then Scotty's going to get you. If you cover Scotty, Michael Jordan's definitely going to get you. There is no way that you could defend that team. And we saw that with LeBron, with Kyrie in Cleveland. These two guys were unstoppable together. We saw with LeBron when he went to Miami. He not only had a consistent number two, but a consistent number three as well with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. They formed that big three there in South Beach. Every big-time player, doesn't matter how good they are, you got to have a consistent number two, because it doesn't matter what your skill level is. If your opposing defense is suffocating you and double-teaming you and putting a press on you all game long, that keeps you from being able to show your skill. It keeps you from being able to play your game. And we've talked about it in the series for Minnesota. Before this, when they were taking on the Denver Nuggets, said Carl, they've got to go get somebody other than Karl-Anthony Towns, because Karl-Anthony Towns, as good as he is not consistent. He's not consistent enough to be that number two for Anthony Edwards. You've got to go get a guy that can help Anthony Edwards, and that way he doesn't have to take the entire team on his back. Anthony Edwards, after game three, talking about how tired he was. Well, yeah, he's tired. He's exhausted right now because he's having to do everything himself. Because there is no consistent number two that he can rely on, that he can trust. So getting this late in the postseason and against a team that's this good and this physical as Dallas, yeah, he's going to be getting tired. So if you're Minnesota, and let's say Tuesday night is your last game, you get swept Tuesday night, you can't get the job done, and then your next goal should go in and be in finding somebody to come in and help Anthony Edwards for the 24-25 season. You got to have somebody. You can't just keep hoping and praying that Karl-Anthony Towns gets a little bit more consistent. Because, I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns has been saying he's been throwing up, what, 1,500 shots at practice? Either he's shooting too much and he's wearing himself out, or he's not shooting enough, because it ain't helping. It's not helping. So, I don't know. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley on NBA Inside on TNT, they spoke out and they said they don't even think he's hitting that many shots during practice. that he's just running his mouth. I don't know. He might actually be hitting that many shots. But either way, like I said, if he is shooting 1,500 shots, he's either exhausting himself, which case he needs to back it off, or 1,500 is not enough and he needs to start shooting more. Maybe shoot 2,500 instead of 1,500. I don't know. But they've got to get help for Anthony Edwards. If the T-Wolves are going to take that next step and not only be a contender but win an NBA championship, they've got to get consistent number two play for Anthony Edwards moving forward. So they're down 3-0. The Pacers are down 3-0 right now. Boston looking to go for that sweep tonight. Tip-off of that game is going to be 7 o'clock tonight, local time. ESPN on TV, and of course you can tune in and hear it, ESPN Pensacola 99.1 as well. Still not quite sure what's going to happen with the Pacers and Haliburton. I, as of recording of this, have not seen official word over where Halliburton's going to give it or go or not. He's suffering from that left hamstring. Obviously, he missed game 3, and that was a big blow for the Pacers. So, you know, you're facing elimination. If you're Tyrese Haliburton, do you try to suck it up and go out there and play as best as you can? Because even a banged-up Tyrese Haliburton in the lineup is better than not having Tyrese Haliburton in the lineup. You know what I'm saying? So, I think you've got to wonder if he's going to try to give it a go tonight with elimination on the line. But for Boston, just do what you've done the first three games. Rely on a guy like Jason Tatum to lead your team. And don't change anything. Don't try to get cute with your game plan. Don't try to suddenly change up how you're playing defensively in this series. Stick to what has worked for you so far, and you'll be just fine. And more than likely, you'll probably be celebrating a spot in the NBA playoff or in the NBA championship series tonight on the road in Indiana. I just don't know if the Pacers have enough. They may have enough to get them to this game, but it's multiple times now in this series the Pacers have had a lead and you thought that they were going to win only for them to choke it away. Was it game 1 and game 3? They had big leads coming down the stretch and they choke it away and Boston comes back and wins. So I don't know if Indiana has enough this late into the season to where they can shut down the Boston Celtics completely to finish off a game. I have honestly and truthfully, I have lost between game 1 and game 3, I have lost all hope in the Indiana Pacers to finish a game because they have not done it in this series. I understand they're banged up, they've got injuries, but you're also still a really good basketball team. You've got to be able to hold that lead when you have it, especially when it's like a 15-20 point lead. You better not blow that lead against the Boston Celtics. But they've done it now not once, but twice. And they find themselves down 0-3. I just don't have faith that the Pacers can fight off elimination tonight, especially if Halliburton's not in the lineup. If they don't have Tyrese on the floor, then I really do think that Boston's going to have a great opportunity at sweeping the series. Another series that's happening in the NHL. This is definitely turning into a pretty good one right now. The Rangers. They outlast the Florida Panthers 5-4 in overtime. Florida actually erased a big deficit. It was like, what was it, 4-1 or something like that. Florida storms back, scores 3 straight goals, including 2 back-to-back goals like within like a couple of minutes of each other in the third period to tie it at 4. It goes into overtime, and it was a great game in overtime. Just a great game in general, really. And like I said, the Rangers lasted out 5-4, so that series now is a 2-1 lead for the Panthers. So Rangers maybe getting a little bit of that juice and that momentum back. You know, they started strong in the postseason, went 7-0 the first 7 games. Then they lost 3 of their last 4 before winning this one. So maybe they're going to get a little juice back going, get a little rhythm going, and kind of wake them up. Because remember, going into this series, they did have to sit and wait for a little while and wait for the Florida Panthers to finish their series with the Boston Bruins. Right? So they had to sit and wait a little bit of time. And maybe there was a little bit of a rust there that developed with the sitting and waiting. But it looks like the Rangers have knocked it off now. So it's 2-1 lead for Florida. If Rangers can find a way to win game 4, then you know what? We could have one heck of a series down the stretch there in the NHL Finals. In the NHL Eastern Conference Finals. So definitely looking forward to keeping an eye on that one. Some college baseball news. This one, oh, this story... This story, it's one of those feel-good stories, but it's also one of those stories that just stinks, man, because you hate to hear this. So Birmingham Southern is closing its doors. Like, the entire school is closing permanently May 31st. So what is that, Friday? They're going to be closing their doors for good. The baseball team, however, has just punched their ticket to the D3 College World Series, which means they will be competing in the College World Series for a school that no longer exists. Now, that does sound like something that there would be in the rule book of the NCAA saying that you can't compete if your school doesn't exist anymore, but that doesn't seem to be the case here, or at least the NCAA is not really making too much of a fuss about it, and they're still allowing Birmingham Southern to play in the College World Series. Yeah, maybe kind of like a nice little, you know, hey, they're not going to have a season next year. Let's not find some weird liability or loophole to cut their season short this year. Let them go ahead and finish it out and play it out, and we'll see what happens, and we'll deal with it at the end. So I don't know how this is going to play out for Birmingham Southern as far as being in the College World Series, and if they go on to win the College World Series, where does the trophy go? Do they have to share it with the team that they played? Because technically they're not an active school anymore. So there's a lot of things that are going to play out from this. But you know what? Those guys, that's got to be tough news, because you know you're told as college athletes and as young kids, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, that, oh, by the way, the school that you chose to play for is shutting down. So you're going to have to leave and go somewhere else, you know? There, I guarantee you some of those guys on Birmingham Southern's baseball team chose Birmingham Southern because they are from Birmingham, Alabama, and grew up in that area and wanted to stay home close to family, probably close to their girlfriend that they dated in high school. You know, maybe she went to UAB or she went to Samford. You know, who knows? And those guys now are being told, well, you got to find another place to go play college ball at. You got to go find another place to get your education at, because the school is completely shut down as of this upcoming Friday. So it's a tough situation for them, but kudos to them for being able to rally from this and saying, you know what? We're going to use this to motivate us, and we're going to go win the College World Series. And so far, they've done a great job of that there at the Division III level. So good luck to Birmingham Southern as they get ready to play in the College World Series, despite there not actually being a Birmingham Southern anymore, effective as of this Friday, May 31st. So we'll see what happens there. Staying in the world of baseball, Ronald Acuna Jr. Tough news if you're a Braves fan. Tough news if you're a baseball fan, really, because this guy's a lot of fun to watch. Out for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. And to make matters worse with this, just posted on X after he left the game and the results were announced and the results came back. Just posted, I'm sorry. Just simple, I'm sorry, with a little broken heart emoji. And it just tears you up because this, and like I said a while ago, whether you're a Braves fan or really a baseball fan in general, this is, it sucks. It's rough because this is a guy that is fun to watch. I think even if you're a Phillies fans or Mets fans or even Marlins fans, you know, which are, you know, the rivals inside that same division for them in the NL East, It stinks because this is a guy that he's one of those guys that plays the game the right way, does things the right way, doesn't get in trouble off the field, and you just enjoy watching him play the game because he loves the game so much, and it's infectious. It doesn't matter what team you cheer for. When you watch him play, it is infectious, and you just enjoy watching him and keeping up with him and the numbers that he puts up. And the speed that he has on the field is absolutely incredible. One of the fastest players in Major League Baseball. And now to be out with a torn Achilles, it's tough. It's got to be tough. I think as far as the Braves go, I think the Braves in the greater landscape of everything will probably be fine. It's definitely going to hurt because this guy was big in the field, and he was big in the batter's box for him. But that's a talented organization with a lot of depth through their minor league system. I guarantee you they probably got a guy that they can bring up, or probably already have a guy there in Atlanta on their roster that they can put in that spot and still get some production out of him. Will it be the same level as Ronald Acuna Jr.? Probably not. But it's they still got some talented players there with that Braves organization, whether it's on the 40-man roster or in their farm system. So, but still, you hate to see it. And hopefully he can get better quickly and be back and ready to go for next season. Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick for the Chicago Bears, reports coming out of OTAs that he is struggling. You know, throwing a couple of interceptions, things like that. I say, who cares? Who cares? It's OTAs. That's what OTAs are for. He's a rookie. He's learning. He's working through the process. I would rather have my rookie first round, number one overall quarterback throw interceptions now in OTAs, get him out of his system, learn what he's doing wrong, make these mistakes and learn what he's doing wrong. That way he doesn't do them when we get things kicked off in the fall. Because, see, that's what the haters aren't going to think about. The haters are going to hear this and they're going to go, ah, see, I told you, Caleb Williams, he's going to be a bust. He's going to be terrible. No, he's not. He's learning what not to do. And even if he does show up year one in the NFL and stinks to high heaven and throws a buttload of interceptions, you know who else did that? Peyton Manning. Look at Peyton Manning's stat from his first season in the NFL. I'm not saying Caleb Williams is going to be Peyton Manning, but I'm just simply saying that judging somebody off of the way that they perform in OTAs, or heck, even their first season in the league, it's not exactly a good measuring stick of how things can go. Because we've seen other quarterbacks come into the league like a Peyton Manning, struggle that first year, and you think, oh, well, this is not going to go well for him. And then he turns out to be one of the greatest quarterbacks to play of all time. Then we've seen quarterbacks come in and have a great rookie season, and you think they're going to be the next best thing since sliced bread at the quarterback position. And it stops after their rookie year. They play about two or three more seasons, and then you don't hear anything from them ever again. We've seen it play out both ways. So to anybody that's getting excited, like if you're a Packers fan and you're going, Caleb Williams struggling in OTAs, or if you're a Bears fan and you're going, are you kidding me? He's struggling in OTAs. It's great news that he's struggling in OTAs. That's what OTAs are for, to get better, to learn from your mistakes. You can't learn in life or in football unless you make the mistakes to learn from. And that's what Caleb Williams is doing right now. We'll see how well he learns from it moving forward. When we get into the preseason, when we get into the regular season, we'll see how he learns from it. But as of right now, him throwing the, was it five or six interceptions in a row he threw in an OTA practice or whatever the other day, at least that was the report I saw come out. Good. He's got things on tape that he can watch and learn from. The last thing you want is to have a rookie quarterback who is perfect on film, so you have nothing to critique him on and nothing to work with him on. Now that coaching staff for Chicago can go in and say, ah, okay, see here, see this footwork, see how your foot was out of place. That affected this throw and led to the interception. You've got to make sure your foot is set and in the right spot and in the right place on this play. He's getting things that he can learn on and get better from. So I don't panic if you're a Bears fan. Don't panic, all right? Josh Allen says that Keon Coleman, the rookie receiver they just recently drafted, said it's exactly what the Bills' offense needed. Maybe a little shot at Stephon Diggs there. I don't know. I wouldn't go as far as say it's a shot at him, but I definitely understand what Josh Allen is saying. Josh Allen is saying that this is a Bills team that, look, there was some animosity a little bit between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. You see them on the sideline yelling at each other after drives, you know, play didn't work out. They're on the sideline bickering back and forth. We saw it. I think that relationship kind of ran its course. And so because of that, I think a little new blood was needed. So they go out and they get rid of Stephon. He goes down to the Houston Texans. He seems to be happy there with C.J. Stroud. And they go and they draft Keon Coleman for Josh Allen to be his new go-to, one of his new go-to receivers. Younger guy, down-to-earth guy, not self-absorbed. Because let's be honest. And no offense if you played receiver or are currently a receiver, but that position is known as being a little bit of a diva, right? Always saying you're open even if you're not. Keon Coleman is not doing that. Keon Coleman is a very down-to-earth, chill, relaxed guy. And I think that's exactly what Josh Allen is talking about here with exactly what this offense needed. He's a guy that if the play doesn't work out and the drive stalls, he's not going to be in Josh Allen's face yelling at him. He's not going to be throwing one of those Microsoft tablets on the sideline. He's not going to be yelling at a coach or another teammate. He's going to figure out why the play didn't work and adjust and make sure that the next time they call it, it does work. So I think Josh Allen is excited to have not only Keon Coleman, but the rest of this new team. Remember, this is going to be an extremely young team for the Buffalo Bills. One of the youngest teams, probably actually the youngest team that Josh Allen has ever had as the head, the starting quarterback there with the Buffalo Bills. So I think that they're going to breathe a new life into not only that Bills organization, but into Josh Allen as well. And I think that's going to give them a good opportunity to eventually get over that hump and maybe even get to a Super Bowl. So I think that it may take a year or two because there's going to be some learning curves and getting used to things and how they're done in the NFL. But once those young guys start clicking a little bit more, year two, you know, you hit that sophomore season, there's no bigger improvement between year one and year two. So this year there might be some growing pains. They're still going to have some success and make some plays, especially with a guy like Keon Coleman on their team. But I think year two is really when you need to watch out for this Buffalo Bills team with all this young talent. Because, oh, by the way, they'll be able to bring in more young talent in next year's draft to add to it and continue to build that team for the long haul of the future. So Josh Allen seems to be happy with Keon Coleman there in Buffalo. And Buffalo fans, you should be happy with him as well. I mean, you can't go wrong with a guy who likes to shop on the sales rack at Macy's, right? That's a nice coat. That is a nice coat. He's got to get him one in Buffalo Bill blue or red, though. He can't keep wearing that yellow one there to the press conferences. Kyle Larson, he tried to do the double over the weekend. And if you're not a racing fan, the double basically means he tried to compete in the Indianapolis 500 as well as the Coca-Cola 600. And, you know, he had a... he had a good opportunity to do it and get things taken care of there, but Mother Nature had other plans. Ironically, it was the same storm system. So the same storm system that delayed the Indianapolis 500 is the same one that caused the track to get soaked for the Coca-Cola 600 there in Charlotte. So that same storm system just wreaking havoc for him and ruining his plans there at participating in that double. So maybe next year he'll be able to try for it again, and maybe next year he can get it in and get it taken care of without Mother Nature getting in the way. The 2024 Softball Women's College World Series set in OKC. We have our field. Of course, we're going to see Oklahoma Sooners. Lots of familiar faces. So if you're familiar with the Women's College World Series, lots of familiar faces coming up in the tournament. It gets started on Thursday. Oklahoma, UCLA, Oklahoma State, Tim Walton and the Florida Gators are back in it. Duke, Bama, they've been on the rise the last few seasons, doing lots of good things there with softball and really baseball too in Tuscaloosa. Texas, Stanford, that is your field for the Women's College World Series. I'm not even going to bother picking a favorite in this because, like I said, I mean, this is a mosh podge of recent national champions. There's a lot of teams here that are very familiar with OKC and that will be making it very tough for the other teams to try to win a national championship. Oklahoma, definitely got to have an opportunity. Oklahoma State, Florida, Bama, Texas, Stanford, those UCLA especially, all those teams definitely going to have an opportunity at bringing home a national championship. So we'll keep an eye on that. Again, it gets started on Thursday. Definitely going to be lots of fun. I always love the Women's College World Series for softball and then the Men's College World Series for baseball. So always look forward to this time of year, beginning of June, when those events are getting started. Definitely going to be exciting times, and we will definitely keep up with the softball and baseball action for both College World Series and, of course, all things happening in the world of sports. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, happy Memorial Day. Again, as you're out celebrating, you're out hanging out with family and friends, remember the real reason why you have this three-day weekend, and just take a second and reflect on those men and women in the United States military who paid that ultimate sacrifice and gave their lives so that we can enjoy our lives here in this great country that we live in. This is the Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, and ESPN Pensacola podcast. I will talk to you tomorrow.